Women happen to be the main holders and practitioners of the local knowledge system because of the interaction, the constant interactions they have, you know, with the natural surroundings, the kind of knowledge that they have about the forest, about the land that they are working with, about the water reserves, about the livestock, about all the other elements in nature is something that they're making use of, you know, in their day-to-day activities in earning a sustainable source of livelihood in the hills. So what we are trying to do is basically we are trying very actively, we are trying women, you know, to participate very actively in different decision-making forums to make use of that knowledge that they have, the immense body of knowledge that they have of the surroundings, to come up with the strategies, you know, to cope with the difficulties that they face every day, you know, whether it's related to agriculture or it's related to forest or it's related to water. And ultimately, you know, to the issues of food security, food and nutrition security, which is in a way connected also to climate changes.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us what are some of the main challenges that the women have told you that they're facing of late?
Our area, actually, the area that I represent, I'm working in, it's a rain-fed area in the sense agriculture is the mainstay of our economy. That is, it's an agricultural-based livelihood. And agriculture is natural resource-based, you know. That is, it's dependent on not just land, but also forest, also water, also livestock. And it is, again, climate-sensitive. And women happen to be the major workers in the sense they are the farmers, actually. And they are contributing at least 90%, more than 90%, you know, to the agricultural economy. So they are the people actually who are carrying out majority of the work. But unfortunately, still they are not considered farmers. Women are not considered farmers. And one of the basic reasons is because the land, they don't have legal ownership over land. So that is something that is one big challenge that they have to face, you know, that they are facing, especially in the context of climate change, because agriculture is natural resource-based, and being natural resource-based, you know, it's very climate sensitive, and it's related directly to women's workload. It's related directly to women, you know, because of her absence, you know, of ownership and control over this very important resource, and also resources such as water, responsibilities are hers. But when it comes to contributing to decision-making, she is hardly present in those decision-making forums. So that is one big challenge that she is facing, especially in the context of climate change, which is adding to her workload, putting her in a situation, you know, of more food and nutrition insecurity.
What are some of the solutions, or what are some of the scenarios that maybe you see that could help these women?
I think one of the things that we really need to make use of, and which we are trying also in our area, and those strategies have actually proved quite effective, you know, is to create spaces for women, you know, especially in the formal decision-making forums, for women to come and contribute to make her voice heard. And we have to also create enabling conditions so that she speaks and people also hear her, you know. Like, for example, in our area, you know, people were practicing chemical-intensive farming, and because of that, she was definitely contributing as a worker, but as not as a decision maker. So what was happening was that the quality of the land was going down. Chemical intensive farming is too water intensive, so water reserves were going down. Now the fodder, which earlier they would be getting, you know, from the traditional crops, that fodder is not available, and livestock is a very important component of agriculture in the hills. Now with fodder going down, actually getting eroded, that is from the crops, dependence on the forest reserves increased, and that also added to her workload. It also affected, you know, the health of the family, it affected the health of the environment, it affected the health of the animals, and ultimately the food and nutrition security of the family as whole. So she decided, women in our group, you know, our groups actually, they decided that they are going to bring back the traditional systems of agriculture. They started collecting seed, they created their own seed bank, you know, they reintroduced actually mixed cropping systems, and gradually they converted the lands actually where chemicals were being used heavily, you know, into gradually the fields, you know, where sustainable farming was being practiced. At the same time, they also started taking care of the forest, started looking after managing the forest informally, but gradually they again started participating in very actively in the decision-making forums, and they became head persons of those forest committees. And now the composition and the density of the forest has gone up like anything. I would like to point out here that we have not invested even a single penny in any of the forest regeneration exercises.
How long did this take?
Oh, it took many years because it's a very, very slow process. Actually, we wanted the community organizations to be very strong, you know, and then we wanted this community-based planning, actually, everything to happen through community-based planning, through participatory approaches, people's active participation. It took almost like 8 years.